We turn in our Bibles this afternoon to Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, and we'll also turn to Lord's Day 25 of our Heidelberg Catechism. We begin in our Catechism section titled of the Sacraments, Lord's Day 25, and also in connection with baptism this afternoon. That fits. We will first read Romans chapter 10, and then turn to Lord's Day 25. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise: Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold, and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, All day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Turning then also to Lord's Day 25, page 53 in the back of your Psalters. Since then, we are made partakers of Christ and all his benefits by faith only, whence doth this faith proceed? Answer, from the Holy Ghost, who works faith in our hearts by the preaching of the gospel, and confirms it by the use of the sacraments. What are the sacraments? The sacraments are holy, visible signs and seals, appointed of God for this end, that by the use thereof he may the more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel, namely, that he grants us freely the remission of sin and life eternal, for the sake of that one sacrifice of Christ accomplished on the cross. Are both word and sacraments then ordained and appointed for this end, that they may direct our faith to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross as the only ground of our salvation? Yes, indeed. For the Holy Ghost teaches us in the gospel and assures us by the sacraments that the whole of our salvation depends upon that one sacrifice of Christ which he offered for us on the cross. How many sacraments has Christ instituted in the New Covenant or Testament? Two, namely Holy Baptism and the Holy Supper. Beloved congregation, as I mentioned in our when we were reading the Scriptures and also the Catechism, we've come to this new section of the Catechism entitled Of the Sacraments. Over the past 6 months or so, we've been working through the Apostles' Creed. Back in Lord's Day 7, we asked, what is true faith? And the contents of faith have been discussed and considered by the authors of the Catechism through the lens of the Creed. They've taken their time in treating and exploring the contents of the Christian faith, as it's summarized in that Creed. Then in Lord's Day 23, we saw what believing all those things accomplishes, what it profits us, namely justification. The Lord justifies sinners who believe. We believe in justification by faith alone. The prophet given there was that it makes a believer righteous in Christ before God, justifies him. But then what? When faith is worked in the heart by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord does not give faith and then take a step back. Know that faith is also further nurtured and strengthened by the Lord. That the work that He in me has begun, we sing, shall by His grace also be fully done. He begins, but He also accomplishes, He finishes, He completes His work of grace in the heart. And He does this, doesn't He, through means. We speak of the means of grace. And really, that's where our catechism now turns our attention to. We've been talking about faith, and now it begins to cross a bridge over to the means of grace. And so our theme this afternoon is faith and the means of grace. I see 2 points. First, the working of faith, which is the word preached. And secondly, the confirming of faith, which you could say is the sacraments used. The working of faith, the word preached, and the confirming of faith, the sacraments used. The Catechism asks the question, where does this faith come from? And the answer is from the Holy Ghost, who works it in our hearts by the preaching of the Gospel. The Catechism makes a very simple and yet profound statement that faith is worked by the Holy Spirit through preaching. And it gets this statement, this from Paul's statement in Romans 10, which we read together, where he says, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This is a profound statement. It's contrary to human reason, and yet this is the way, the means, that God, the Holy Spirit, is pleased to work faith is through preaching. The foolishness of preaching, might I add, in human estimation, it certainly seems foolish. But as Paul says in Corinthians, it is the foolishness of men, the things that men think are foolish, are the wisdom of God. And I'd like us this afternoon, for this first point, or the majority of it, to think for a moment about a time in the Church of Christ, in the history of the Church, when there was a lot of preaching going on. At least, we are told of a lot of preaching in the book of Acts. And if you study the book of Acts, and as we'll look at multiple sections this afternoon in Acts, you'll find that it confirms this profound statement. Time after time, the preaching of the apostles results in faith, in Jews and in Gentiles alike. Let's look at some of them. In Acts 4, we read, "Many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. This is Acts 4, verse 4. It may be good to pull your Bibles out and work with me. We'll work sequentially through the book of Acts, through a number of passages, and you can read them along as we look at them. And see here the connection. Many of them which heard the word believed. You flip a couple few chapters on to Acts chapter 8. We have there Philip. He is preaching to the Samaritans. Acts 8 verse 12, we read, "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Again, we have Philip, he's preaching. And we have believing. Later on in that same chapter, verse 37, Philip is preaching again, this time to that Ethiopian eunuch in the desert. And hearing the preaching of Philip, the eunuch said this, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Two chapters on in Acts chapter 10. The Roman centurion Cornelius. We hear about him and we find that he sees in a vision an angel of God. Now think of that for a moment. Could God the Holy Spirit not have simply used that angel to give faith, to speak a word and give faith to Cornelius? Could have. He doesn't do so. He sees a vision of an angel of God who tells Cornelius to go get a man named Peter who will tell thee what thou oughtest to do. He will tell thee. Peter would preach the word. It's the means the Holy Spirit uses. We find in that chapter that Cornelius and his household believe. Again, the connection between faith and preaching. Preaching is the means the Spirit uses to work faith. Acts 11, the next chapter. The early believers flee from persecution in Jerusalem, and they've come to Antioch, and there they spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And what do we read? Sure enough, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. What does it mean there that the hand of the Lord was with them? Well, the Holy Spirit, He was with them. A hand, we often speak of a helping hand. It's the Spirit who's working with His hand. He has His hand, as it were, in the preaching. And He's working faith. He's sealing the preaching home to the hearts and bringing faith. In Acts 13, two chapters later, you have Paul and Barnabas. They're sent out by the church and they get on a boat and they come to the island of Cyprus. And there Sergius Paulus, the deputy, he calls for them, desiring to hear the word of the Lord. But there's this man named Elymas, also known as Bar-Jesus. He's a sorcerer. And he tries to hinder the work of Paul and Barnabas. But Paul strikes him blind. And then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Now, the deputy saw what was done and believed, but notice, what was he astonished at? We might think, well, the miracle Paul worked in striking Elymas blind would make him astonished, but that's not what we read. We are told that he was specifically astonished at the doctrine of the Lord, the teaching, yes, the preaching of the Word. Who made him astonished at it? The Holy Spirit. Everywhere Paul went, everywhere these apostles went, the Holy Spirit went too. Jesus speaking to his disciples, his apostles to be, made it very clear to them that without me, and you can read in that, without my Spirit, you can do nothing. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit, beloved, to apply the word preached. Still in Acts 13, a little further on, when Paul and Barnabas come to Antioch in Pisidia, the Gentiles beseech them to preach the word to them. And they do so. But the Jews that are there, they get upset with envy and they begin to blaspheme. And then Paul and Barnabas, they denounce those Jews. And they say, we turn to the Gentiles. And then we read, and when the Gentiles heard this, verse 48, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Acts 14. They're at Iconium, the next chapter, in the next town. And again we read, they so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and Gentiles, or Greeks, believed. The next chapter at the Synod of Acts 15. There the apostles are gathered together to deal with some issues that have come up in the church. And Peter, he rises up and he says unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, speaking then of that time with Cornelius, should hear the word of the gospel and believe. We could go on through Acts, the Philippian jailer, the Athenians in chapter 17, Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue at Corinth, the Corinthians, and even at the end of the book, in Acts 28, there's Paul in Rome in his own hired house. He's preaching and has this effect, that some believed the things which were spoken. Beloved, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As I said at the beginning of this sermon, this seems so foolish, doesn't it? It seems utterly inconceivable. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to the natural man. It makes no sense. A cross, a suffering, a bleeding, a dying person. But yet, in spite of that, in spite of what men might think, in spite of what even our natural inclination might be, in spite of that, preaching changes things. Because the Lord, by His Spirit, uses that preaching to work faith. It's not because of the great speaking skills, or as if the words or the order of the words themselves are something as such, no. But it's because this word is what the Spirit is pleased to bless to the working of faith in the heart. And that's why preaching is so important and so precious. We do not see the Spirit, do we? We cannot tangibly detect Him. We cannot trace how He does this in the hearts of the hearers. It's a mystery. Just as the wind that blows is mysterious, and so the Spirit is mysterious. He mysteriously works in the hearts of those who hear. Yes, He takes all the experiences that person, that you have had up to this very moment in your life. And all of the experiences in your life converge upon that moment when the Sovereign Lord breaks into the life of the sinner and breaks down the resistance and convicts him or her of their sin and need and shows them the Savior and gives them faith. And at that moment they're justified and set free. That doesn't mean it has to happen in church. Someone can go home, think about what they've heard or read the Word, and the Lord can use, He is fully sovereign. He uses the preaching. Well, how indispensable, beloved, the Holy Spirit is. Apart from Him, we could have the tongue of men and of angels, but there would be no fruit. How humbling for your minister. Apart from Him, it would be useless and hopeless. But the promise is, My word that goeth forth out of My mouth shall not return to Me void. What a promise. Since He works, it's such an encouragement. Parents also here for baptism this afternoon. What encouragement that Kaylee doesn't have to believe on her own. I mean, she actually cannot. That's a bit discouraging. But how encouraging that the Lord is able, by His almighty power, to work in Kaylee also, her heart and life, to convict her also of sin and guilt and of her need, and to give her faith. What a wonder that would be when the Lord would give her faith. It's the best thing you as parents can receive. The Lord draws her to see that Savior and to lay hold of Him by faith. And He promised this afternoon to be her God, and you may and ought to also plead that, because it means He's willing and He's ready to save her and all the children of the congregation, all those who are comprehended in His covenant. Oh, let us ask Him that then. You as parents, you pray many things for her, but also pray that the Holy Spirit would give her that gift of faith through the preached word. And that's also why it's incumbent upon you as parents and upon all of us as parents that we do and continue to bring all the years that the Lord has given us children, bring them faithfully to church. That they would be under the preached word. That's not only a privilege, it's a responsibility. And that we may not stay home for any old light reason. Church is never optional. We're called to be here, where the Holy Spirit especially promises to work in the preaching of the word. That's also why we're called to instruct our children as again, you're here this afternoon, you heard, we're called to diligently use the means as parents. Parents, the forum said, are in duty bound further to instruct their children in the Word. You know, sometimes we as parents can think, if I'm not so diligent in teaching my children, that's okay because the Lord has to work sovereignly in their hearts anyway. But what is that? That's a practical denial of Romans 10 verse 17, isn't it? That faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Because how will our parents, our children believe? It's by them being under the Word and being soaked in the Word. The Lord may bless things you teach your children decades from now. He has done so many times. Once it's in the memory, you can't get it out. The Lord has often used that. Well, congregation, as we hear these words about preaching and the importance of preaching, let us be exhorted to be in prayer for God's blessing on the preached word. The Lord is willing, ready to bless His word. It's a great reason to be in prayer before the service, that the words that will be heard, regardless of who's preaching, would be blessed to your hearts. He's willing to do it. Pray that the Spirit would be present. That Spirit who makes all the difference between a word that is brought home to your heart, working faith, in between going out cold and indifferent. And because that Spirit is working and willing to work, let us also come to church expectant. Sometimes I think we come to church and, well, it's the same as last week and it's sort of the same thing. It's a routine we get into. But let us be expecting great things from God as we gather, as we worship, as we sing, and as we hear His Word preached. Let us be expectant that the living God will work through His living Word. Many people today have no interest in preaching. Well, let us be convinced, beloved, of the primacy of preaching. Paul says, I mentioned it already in 1 Corinthians 1, how the Greek philosophers would mock him. The Jews, he says, require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. And you hear the echoes of that in Athens in Acts 17 when Paul is there and he's preaching and they shake their heads at him, say he's mad. Paul there writes in 1 Corinthians 1 that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. You see, the preaching is not something that man by nature has interest in, but it's the power of God unto salvation. And therefore, let us maintain in our minds the primacy of preaching. Defend it. Preserve it. Young people, 30, 40, 50 years from now, if the Lord tarries, you must still be defending this truth that the Word must be preached. There's all kinds of other gimmicks that churches are introducing to their own detriment. Trying to accommodate to the spirit of the age, to people who say, well, we're past that. It's not in vogue today. Sweep it all aside. May the Word be preached. Because it will all be in vain if the Spirit will not be, rather because the Spirit will use the means of preaching to work true faith. Well, that's for our first point. And we come secondly to also consider that the Holy Spirit not only works faith through the preached Word, but He also confirms faith, and that is through the sacraments used. Before we get to the sacraments, we need to note that certainly the Holy Spirit also strengthens faith by the Word preached. He will nurture and He will confirm the faith that He works through preaching. We read in Peter, 1 Peter 2, verse 2, that he writes, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. And then he gives the purpose. He gives the reason why they should desire the milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Growth. Through preaching. Certainly, but our catechism especially points out that the Holy Spirit uses the sacraments to strengthen and confirm faith at the end of answer 65. And confirms it, the faith, by the use of the sacraments. In God's providence, we witnessed the sacrament of Lord's Supper last week. And this week, we may witness the other sacrament of Holy Baptism. As we've seen these sacraments so fresh in our minds now, we can ask again the question, what are these sacraments? Well, think of them as God's solemn pledge of His gospel. As our catechism puts it, the more theological answer, the sacraments are holy visible signs and seals appointed by God. And then it gives the purpose, to more fully declare and seal to us the promise of the gospel. Why do we have sacraments? What do they do? What's their function? It's to put a highlighter on the gospel promises. To make the gospel promises come out in bold font. They make the gospel promises, as it were, come alive. In order that we might see them. And that these promises seen in this way may strengthen faith. Faith is often assaulted. The Lord knows that. His people have many low points. He knows it. That's why He gives the sacraments, for the confirming and the strengthening of the faith of His people. We often hear it, don't we, that the Lord's Supper and the table is for the strengthening of the faith of God's children. But maybe we don't think of baptism in quite the same way. That may well be. But baptism is also instituted by Christ for the strengthening of faith. For all God's people here today, it's a sure and blessed word of promise that we heard upon Cayley. It's also reiterated for all to hear that God promises to be our God and to provide us with all things necessary for life and godliness. For all of us to hear. The Lord took a highlighter this afternoon, if you will, and He highlighted His gospel promises. Just see it. Just look at it. Read it. Listen to it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will be your God. The sacraments, they actually preach in a way, don't they? God means what He says. Salvation is accomplished. God's promises are sure, and it's really true. And so take it to heart. There is forgiveness, and there is pardon in Jesus Christ. That's what the sacraments are saying to us. You know, the Lord gives us sacraments, I believe, also because of our slowness to believe, and because we learn not only by hearing, but also by seeing. The sacraments are the gospel object lessons, like a teacher may be busy teaching some difficult concept and using his words. And you may find it hard to understand. But then the teacher opens up his desk drawer. He takes out a 3D model to show you what that concept he's been speaking of in words actually looks like. In real life. And isn't it true when that happens that the students all lean forward and they're all looking? They're all interested as it becomes real to them. So the sacraments. They reinforce the teaching, the lessons of the gospel. And as the people of God sit at the table or sit and witness baptism, the Lord uses it in their hearts also to cause them to say, yes, I see it clearly again. The bread broken and the wine poured out, it signifies the crucified Savior as a substitute for me. And the water of baptism which we witnessed this afternoon on Cayley's head signifies the washing away of all my sins by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it strengthens faith. Confirms faith. It grows God's people in faith. It's the purpose. And that's why we may never minimize or neglect the sacraments, congregation, because they're God's gift to His church and people for their good. It's also why we're called to make use of the sacraments. Answer 66, I find it striking when it says, that by the use thereof. I think it's safe to say that if the sacraments are neglected, faith will begin to grow low. Faith will be at a low point. But in their use, they will benefit us. So let me ask you, child of God, do you struggle in the life of faith? You hear this afternoon maybe and your faith feels weak and dim. Maybe there's darkness or spiritual fog all around you. Maybe you ask yourself sometimes, are the things that I've experienced really true, and is salvation really even mine? Do you lack comfort and assurance of salvation? Let me ask you, do you use the sacraments? If you stay away from the table, but you do confess grace, then you actually missed an opportunity for the strengthening of your faith. No, the Lord doesn't drive His people to the table. But it is a command, isn't it? This do in remembrance of me. He does draw them. He does call them there. And maybe you need to hear this afternoon for next Lord's Supper already. Because your weak faith needs that table. But today also, equally a sacrament in baptism. Did you pay attention? Maybe looking through the spiritual fog which you're in. Did you see the significance of what just happened? Did it sink in? Today we saw a visible gospel message, a sign to Kaylee and by extension to us all that God's promises are sure. You can trust them. You can rest in them. This is a sign that serves to seal home the promises to our heart. If I may jump ahead to the next Lord's Day, there it says that I am as certainly washed by His blood and Spirit from all the pollution of my soul, my sins, as I am washed externally with water. There's a connection there, isn't there? Just as certainly as you can see, the washing there, symbolically, with water, so surely sin is washed away for those who believe in Jesus. Let it sink in, beloved. Let it strengthen your faith. You can trust Him, His word of promise. You can lean into Him. He'll hold you. He'll support you. And remember Ahaz, whom we heard of this morning. He didn't want to believe. Let us lay hold of God by faith. Let us ask the Holy Spirit to give that faith and also to strengthen it in our lives by the sacraments. And then in the third question and answer of our catechism, it really comes to this, that Jesus Christ is the only ground and foundation of your salvation. And that's the comfort, isn't it, in Lord's Supper and in baptism. That the whole of my salvation, answer 67, depends not upon me, but upon that one sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And the key word there is depends. When something depends on it, it stands or falls on that thing. Your salvation, beloved, stands or falls on that one sacrifice of Christ. And the wonder is that that sacrifice was accepted of the Father because He raised Him from the dead and He today sits on the right hand of the Father in heaven. That sacrifice is accepted. It stands, it holds, and your salvation depends on that. And on that alone. Salvation is more sure than the foundations of the world itself. Let it strengthen your faith. I can be saved. After all, yes, I will be saved. Can you say that? Because the gospel preaches that Christ died for sinners like me. What a wonder. That gives true comfort. Far more comfort than you'll ever find scrounging around in your own heart. It's not dependent on anything in here. It's dependent on one sacrifice that was accepted of the Father. It's sure, because He said, it is finished. May Kaylee come to rest there. May you as parents rest there. May we as congregation and as families and as individuals rest there. And the only ground and foundation of our salvation, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen.